Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the new Kia Ceed SW plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And Joe at RTE.ie, straight to the mandatory hotel quarantine and Cathy Bourne. Cathy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
How long have you been in quarantine?
I've been here a week now. I arrived last Friday.
And where is here?
The Crown Plaza.
In Dublin Airport?
Yeah.
Okay. And how are you getting on?
It's horrible. It's a really, really unpleasant experience being here, being mm-hmm. trapped and not having any kind of freedom of any kind. I'm missing my family, and it's not good in any way, really, to be honest.
Where are your family, Cathy?
They're down the road in Greystones, my three children and my husband. My other family are in South Africa. That's where I was. And that's why I went away.
Okay,
it's not great.
Now you contact us. You say the breakfast today, for example, sent me over the edge. Tell us about that, and then we'll walk backwards.
Okay. Well, it was a couple of days ago. Generally the food's been okay. It kind of comes in plastic things. It's a bit like airplane food, so it wasn't, it's not great. But the breakfast I got 2 days ago was two rashers, two pieces of broccoli, no, cauliflower, one piece of broccoli, and a red pepper. And that was my breakfast, and it was cold. And that was kind of the point where I just thought, oh my goodness, like, what the hell's going on here?
And you would specifically, you've asked for a gluten-free diet, have you?
Obviously. I had, and I expected sometimes that would be a bit challenging, but I really did not expect that for my breakfast.
A rasher
on cauliflower is not to be recommended.
Yeah. Okay, now tell us, you mentioned you went, tell us how you ended up in quarantine.
So a while back now, my mother took ill in South Africa. She hasn't been well. She had a fall, and because she has dementia, and because of lockdown there, she has had mm-hmm. a very little kind of experience of people or anything, and things just progressed really quite rapidly with her. And and my brother just felt she was kind of disappearing on us, the mother that we know. And so I made the very difficult decision to go over, because I just felt that I had to see her, because I don't know what was going to happen with her in the future. And mm-hmm. I felt I had an opportunity to go for the holidays, school holidays, and I went to see her. And I don't regret going to see her, because I know that it made a big difference to her and me. But now I'm stuck in a horrible situation, which I knew was going to possibly happen, but I didn't realize it was going to be so degrading.
And in what ways do you feel it's degrading, Cathy? Though I can hear it in your voice.
Well, from the minute I landed, really, you're made to wait on the aeroplane for a considerable while. Then we were put into, me and eight other people were put into a room for about 2 hours mm-hmm. waiting with no ventilation, nothing like that. We waited for 2 hours. Then we had to go through immigration, which took about an hour and a half. Then escorted by the military, and then brought in here. And, so after about 5 hours, I only got to my hotel room. You're allowed your breaks, your 15-minute breaks. Sometimes they're shorter, and if I complained one day because it wasn't the full 15 minutes. You're referred to by your room number, You're not a person. I repeatedly tell them my name just so they know that I'm not just room, whatever it is. And the staff here are very...
Kathy, what do you mean they refer to you? But they say, we'll make up a number, they say 333, come over here.
Yeah, well, it's your time's up. You know, it's time 333,
your time is up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And where do you get three, as it happens, 15-minute breaks a day. Where are you brought?
Out to the back of the hotel. They've sort of, like, made a pen. That's what it feels like anyway. They've sort of put corrugated on, whatever it is. I'm not sure, but it's a cordoned off area. And there's, like, two or three people sort of watching you because I think, they, you know, they're worried about people escaping. It's not a very big area. Most people go down there, do a bit of exercise, but there's also a lot of people smoking and things like that. So,
it's, and what, is there a track to walk around or?
No, you just, I literally run around in circles. That's what I do when I go down there.
And how big is the space? Think of car park spaces. How many car park spaces would it, do you follow me?
Yeah, I do. I'm just trying to work it out.
Or a football pitch. Is it the size of a football pitch?
No, not at all. No.
Half a football pitch?
Not even half a football pitch. It's about, I'd say probably about 100 square metres around that. But don't quote me on that because I don't really know. But it's not big, no.
And is there any, there's a lot of outdoor exercise equipment now in parks and promenades around Ireland. Is there any outdoor...
Nothing.
Basic
Absolute.
Exercise equipment that would keep you occupied
nothing.
For 10 minutes
nothing
and get the heart rate up. And
No, nothing at all.
And what's how do you pass the time?
Well, I'm a teacher, so I have a lot of reports to write, and I started to do an online course. So I do that. But, I mean, after a while, it does get, you know, incredibly boring of just sort of, you know, sitting here. And it just gives you too much time to think about everything and get, you know, melancholy. You know, usually when I've said goodbye to my mum in South Africa, it's always very hard. But this time I didn't even have my children to distract me. And, you know, so it's very hard being on your own. And I mean, I knew that was a possibility. But I suppose the thing that kind of makes me so... sort of confused is why is it just some people have been made to do this and not everybody, you know?
Kathy, do you think there was other passengers on your plane who were from designated countries that should have been put into quarantine?
Well, I know that I don't know where they were from. You see, we were not told anything like that. So there were eight other South Africans with me who were you know, told to... We were quarantined. Everyone else got off the aeroplane. We were flying from Doha. I know that list is now, that they have been added to the list, but they've gone off, and who knows, you know, what they are. I recently got a message now from HSC saying I was a close contact, so somebody on the aeroplane has COVID, but I don't know who that is. Obviously, you're not allowed to know, but it could be one of those people. It could have been one of the people I was with in that small room, unventilated. So I just feel that, you know, I do think quarantine, you know, I understood and I took that risk, and it was a difficult decision to make, but I don't understand why everyone else doesn't do this. You know, why are people from countries with even higher risks being allowed to come in and not have to go through this? And I don't particularly feel very safe here. I just read in the paper that there's one staff member, I don't know if it's here or at the other hotel, has got COVID. I mean, it's so confusing and so bewildering about what's going on and why, you know, there's going to be quarantine. Everyone should be quarantined, I think, or not at all.
And how are your if you go down the M50, you're about 20 minutes, half an hour, say, from your home. How you mentioned you have three children. How are they and what ages are they?
They're 6, 8 and 10.
Oh,
and they're doing great. Like, a lot of my friends have been very kind and helping my husband out a lot. And but it's my daughter's birthday next week, and I promised her I'd be back, and now I don't know because of the uncertainty about, you know, I have to get, they don't know whether I'm going to be, how long I'm going to be here now. That's also up in the air because of the close contact. So, you know, it's really hard. It's really hard. I'm really missing my children. I'm really missing them.
And how much are you paying per night?
So it's nearly 1,900 euros for the whole time. So I think...
Would you pay?
I'm paying myself, yeah. And I knew that was a possibility. So, you know, and if you add that to everything else, the flights and everything, it hasn't been a cheap experience. I'm paying for it myself.
And have you been tempted to slip home?
I would love to, but I won't do that because I know about the laws. Like before this, I would have, you know, stuck to my 5Ks. I would have done everything I was supposed to do. And I obviously, don't want coronavirus here or anywhere. So.
And when you were in South Africa visiting your very, very unwell mother, who you say in your communication, she has dementia and had a fall. I wanted to see her. I knew from the way my brother was speaking, she is disappearing. I needed to see her before she completely disappeared, which is a very moving way of putting it. But in South Africa, what was the COVID level of alert?
It's on a much lower. Well, they were not as. I'm not sure what level they were at, but like everywhere you went, everyone wore masks. It was, you know, so I felt, you know, there were very strict protocols for visiting her, and you know, I felt that it was being handled quite well. I mean, I don't know, it could go really wrong there again. You know, they've had bad waves of it, I felt safe there. I feel I'm more unsafe here at the moment than I did there.
Okay. Why?
Because I could control what was happening. I could control where I went, and I was being safe the whole time. Here, I don't know, you know, who's making my food or anything, and it's that kind of this feeling that everything is out of my control, and you know, I'm just behind a door, and that's it. And
have you been told the consequences if you did slip out?
It's in the sort of, you're given guidelines, and if you break the quarantine, you could be arrested and you'd be fined .
But is there security on every corridor?
Well, I don't know because I haven't left my room until only when somebody comes to escort me. But even when you're outside, you know, there's usually a lot of people, and there's people at the front door. And so there is a lot of that.
But as you say, has anyone called you by your name? Has anyone said, Kathy, would you like a cup of tea, or Kathy?
Eventually they'll say, like, so a nurse rings every few days to see if there's anything wrong with you medically. They'll say, is that Kathy or Catherine? And then they'll say it,
But mostly you're referred to by a number.
Yeah.
Okay. Deirdre McGrain, Joe at rt.ie and 51551, wash hands as text number. Deirdre McGrain, you're listening to Kathy, who's in quarantine over a week now up in the Crown Plaza Hotel in Dublin.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say to Kathy, you know, I'm really sorry to hear about her mother. It's an awful situation to be in the times we live in.
Yeah.
Secondly, about the food, there's just no excuse for that. It is a hotel. They should be able to cater for people with all sorts of diets. But my point is, she's come from South Africa. We're trying desperately to keep that variant that's in South Africa, like the Brazilian one, out of Ireland. Look what happened when the English variant got in here. Our hospitals just can't cope. I have friends in Australia, and I have a friend who had to go to Vietnam. Vietnam, you are not, you're escorted by the military to the hotel. Mm. There is a soldier on the floor of the hotel. They knock at the door, your food's outside. You put on a mask, you give 90 seconds, he opens the door, you take your food in. The same. Mm. You put your mask on before you leave your tray out. The same happens with the bedclothes and the towels. You're not allowed out of that room for any exercise, fresh air, anything. Mm. The same is happening in Australia and New Zealand. You go into that room, you're in there for 14 days. You're not allowed out for exercise or for any other reason. Here, which I can understand Cathy's point when I was listening to her, she feels a bit unsafe when she's escorted out of the hotel for exercise. People shouldn't be allowed out of the hotel for exercise or smoke breaks. I mean, that is not quarantine. They're coming down the corridors of the hotel, they're coming down the lift, they're coming through the lobby. That is not quarantine. That should not be happening. They should be in the hotel.
Even though the overwhelming evidence this week is that outdoors is infinitely safer COVID-wise than indoors.
Yes, but Joe, they've to get out of the hotel. They've to get out of the hotel. They've to come down the corridors. They've to come down the lifts. Mm. They've to come through the lobby. If people congregate and they've gone out on a walk, that Crown Plaza, there's loads of apartments, loads of people walking with their children. There's a nursing home there. There's a medical clinic in the same complex. It's crazy. You know, in every other country, they had the quarantine. Quarantine meant quarantine. You went into a room.
Yeah.
That's where you stayed till you gave some countries have different things after 5 days, and then after another 5 days, you give a test and you're released. Some, it's 14 days. But, I mean, the quarantine they're doing here, they're letting people out for walks. They're letting them out to smoke. That is not quarantine. That's just crazy. And I do agree with her that, like, everyone should be quarantined coming in. I know that the people on the flight with her, some of them, the countries they weren't on the list at the time, they are now. But anyone coming from South Africa or Brazil or where the Philippines...
Yeah, but I'm, do you want to react to that, Cathy?
We're not allowed out of the hotel. It's the back of the hotel, so it's almost like the back car park type of thing. So it's not... We're not near anybody. So I don't feel like that we would be a danger to anyone because then, and we're not allowed near anybody at all while we're doing that. I don't feel I'm doing something bad there.
Yeah, Deirdre, Cathy made the point and it was made yesterday as well. How does Cathy know or not know that people in the hotel have COVID?
Well, as far as now I'm aware, and I stand to be corrected with this, the people who are supposed to be having contact with the people, you know, the workers in the hotel, they were supposed to have been vaccinated before the COVID.
Okay, have you been told that, Cathy?
No, I haven't been told that.
Okay, you have many COVID tests have you had so far, Cathy?
Just one.
And all okay?
Yeah.
Okay. To come back to this thing about your, you're not begrudging Cathy 15 minutes in the open air, are
no,
you?
No, I am not.
But you don't think she should. You don't think she should be allowed it?
I think if you're going to do it like Australia and New Zealand and Vietnam are doing. It's very successful.
Which is what? Well, Australia wasn't all that successful.
Well, you go into the hotel and you stay in the hotel till you're. Time is up till you give two.
So you're saying, Cathy, unless she abseils out the window and doesn't come in contact with anyone, she shouldn't be allowed out into the fresh air.
But Joe, if you look up the definition of quarantine,
I'm looking up the stats on COVID, and it's one, and for the Irish cases, only one of every 1,000 cases, that's 0.1%, 0.1% is linked to outdoor transmission.
I know that, but my point is they've come down the corridors into the lifts if they're on a higher floor. through wherever.
No, you're not allowed in the lift. You're not allowed in the lift.
Okay.
It's well, the back way. It's all through like fire exits. It's all.
That's interesting.
You're not
yeah.
near anybody.
Well, right, grand. And maybe that isn't a danger to people, and grand if they have an area that they can let you all out for 15 minutes. I wouldn't begrudge that. But all I'm saying is people who are coming into the country have to understand that, like, we have to try and protect people in this country. Our vaccination rates are very low. Our hospitals cannot cope with being swamped by COVID cases. The new variants, according to all the doctors, are very, very worrying. And we have to try to keep them out of our country. So when you have people coming from Brazil or South Africa where they have all these new variants, I don't think it's unreasonable for people to be quarantined. I really don't. And I think people know this when they're going.
But you're saying you think the quarantine regime here should be even stricter than it is.
Well, it's not as strict as it is in other countries.
Yeah, but you're saying you think the Irish quarantine system should be stricter than what it is at the moment.
Well, probably not personally, but it could be stricter. They could
actually. What do you mean, not personally, Deirdre? What?
I mean, like, if they have a safe area, if they're not allowed to use the lifts, if they're not coming in contact with other people, if they've an area where they're able to safely distance themselves from the other quarantinees in the hotel and get a bit of fresh air, fine. But they could be in Vietnam, Australia or New Zealand where that just wouldn't happen. You'd be in that room for 14 days.
Vietnam is a dictatorship now.
Communist regime. Yeah, well, the same is in New Zealand. You'd hardly call Jacinta Ardern a dictator.
Yeah, well, see, from the get-go, New Zealand is an island, like I said, but it happens to be a united island.
That's right,
We've two different jurisdictions, and it isn't a transit location. New Zealand is a destination. So it has a lot of advantages from the get-go, and it's much more, it's the exact same population of Ireland. There's a difference of 10,000. It's an infinitesimally small difference in population. But it's spread over a much, much larger area and indeed different islands. Alex Ladd in the Netherlands. Alex.
Hi, good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
You can come home, can't you?
At the moment I can come home, but I still have to quarantine for 2 weeks somewhere.
Why?
Officially.
You're not on the list.
I have to quarantine. Yeah.
At home.
In a house somewhere. I live in the Netherlands, so I don't have an actual residence. So, I mean, I'm supposed to officially go because I've been on to the embassy here about it. But I'm coming at this from a slightly different angle, which kind of ties a little bit more in with yesterday's story.
Okay.
Although my heart goes out to that girl in Kathy at the moment. What I'm saying is, I'm living here. I haven't seen my mother now and my son or any of my family for nearly a year and a half. Okay.
Wow.
Which is, you know, it's hard. And she won't thank me for this, but she's not the youngest of people anymore. So she's just fit and healthy and hearty. But, you know, it's very difficult. I haven't seen my son.
And what age is your son, Alex?
Adam is 27, I think, if I get that right. So he lives in Dublin. My mother lives in Dublin also. But my kind of main point is, I'm due now for vaccination in May here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when my age group would be done. And my mother is vaccinated. So I'm kind of saying, I'm vaccinated. I'm going back to see someone who's vaccinated. Mm-hmm. I do a test before I go back. Why should I be forced into quarantine? Now, they're talking about France, Germany and Italy. And if they do that for France, Germany and Italy, it's only a matter of time before the Netherlands is added to that list. I mean, we're just, you know, we free movement still on the mainland of Europe here.
But the Netherlands, like so many mainland European countries, the Netherlands has been badly hit by COVID.
It has, of course, yeah. And at times I've been frustrated with kind of the reluctance of some of the rules that have been put in Ireland before they came in here. You know, having said that, I would, you know, certainly obey all the rules and do what I should be doing. But, you know, at the end of the day, the vaccination program is now happening everywhere. Now, my my thing about this hotel quarantine is it's absolute, it's an extreme. You know, there's an attitude in Ireland, either keep them out or lock them up, one or the other. And, you know, what is the point of us getting vaccinated if we're not free to go home and see our people? And nobody thinks of people like me, other Irish people living abroad who haven't seen their families for a long time, or their families indeed who haven't seen them. And so my concern is, yeah, I get vaccinated in May, I'm good to go. I'm going to someone who's vaccinated, and I'm going to be faced with that situation possibly of 2 weeks in a hotel as well. And yesterday's story was unbelievable to me. I mean, the girl was vaccinated. She had a negative PCR test. There was no reason, even if she needed to quarantine, that she couldn't go to her fiancé's house and quarantine there for 2 weeks. So...
I think the problem, the challenge there, and that's what you could do if you come over. You could go to your mother's house and stay in the room for 2 weeks, but it's not policed.
No, it's not policed, but if you're vaccinated, Joe, what's the point in us being vaccinated if we can't go places? You know, this is, we've all suffered this last year, 13 months, and some suffered a hell of a lot more, unfortunately. But, you know, why, you know, we got vaccinated. So I still have to go and stay in a hotel in Dublin and have four bags of food thrown at me three times a day. You know, it's like, it's ridiculous. To me, it's inhumane. And it's like this panacea, it's like this kind of extreme view. And that's really what the Irish government should be doing, as what they're doing here, is looking at ways to open up, not trying to just, you know, come up with this one solution, which does not fit all sizes. And, you know, it doesn't cover people like me, you know. So, I mean, somebody tell me why, if I'm vaccinated, I get a negative PCR before I come over. I get a quick test in Dublin when I arrive. I'd even stay in a hotel for a night or two and wait for results. But I'm vaccinated and all that. Why can I not go and see my family?
Yeah, Joe, could I come in there?
Yes, Deirdre, yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, I agree with a lot of what that chap is saying. If you're, you know, down the road, as he said, he's due to be vaccinated in May. If his mother is vaccinated, he has all his vaccinations. He gets the test before he comes. I mean, I think, like, a couple of days even in a hotel here while he gets another test. And then him and his mother should be allowed meet up because they're both vaccinated people. And that's what an awful lot of people... I mean, my sister and brother live down the country. I haven't seen them since early December. So, you know, I hope when everyone has their vaccination, we'll be able to visit people. We'll be able to go to other countries, have family from other countries visit us. And I think if people are vaccinated... like that man will be and his mother is, and he gets a test that's negative before he comes here and takes a test while he's
okay.
There's no reason why he should be in a hotel for 14 days, but that's not the situation we're in at the moment, unfortunately.
Okay, and it is one size fits all. That's Alex's point at the minute. But I see, Alex, that the Netherlands has been now, as of 2 days ago, put on the dark red list for countries like Czechoslovakia. That is the most unwelcome, if that's a way of putting it. But anyway, is there total lockdown in the Netherlands?
No, we've never had total lockdown. We've had lockdown to the extent where shops are closed and restaurants are closed, but there's been no 5 kilometre limit.
Oh, that's another thing.
We've had, and we still are under, you can have one visitor to your house in a 24-hour period. You're not supposed to come. We've had a curfew, and that's still on. Now, on the 21st of this month... They're opening the shop.
Tell me about the curfew, because we don't have that. But what is it?
I don't really know. I think it's a bit of a joke. One said we have a curfew from 9 o'clock until 4:30 in the morning.
Wow,
9 o'clock at night. So people
can't go out after 9 o'clock.
No, they're not supposed to. And personally, it doesn't affect you when there's nothing to go out to. Exactly. So I think it's more designed to stop younger people congregating at night time, you know, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, okay.
But, Yeah, so we've that situation. Now, on the 21st of this month, they're going to open up the terraces, restaurant terraces only.
Okay.
And bar terraces.
Well, that's happening in the UK on Monday. Well, England on Monday.
And
it's already happening.
The shops are going to open up again with kind of strict guidelines.
Okay. And how have you managed work-wise? Are you working, Alex, or how have you...
Yeah, I'm working, and I'm actually a facilities manager in a large office. So obviously the office has been empty, but I've still been up and down to the office on a daily basis. So I thank God for that, because I'm not sitting at home all day every day.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm getting work done in the office while it's empty. But,
and the Netherlands living in general is in much smaller spaces than Irish.
Yeah,
living,
absolutely.
Isn't it?
I mean, our numbers are larger than yours. Obviously, but I mean, we've 3 times the population in half the space.
Half the space.
So it's a very different.
Okay, Alex. I hope you see Adam and your mum. What's your mum's first name?
Nuala lad. And
Nuala.
I hope she's listening. So hello, mum.
Okay, I hope you see them very soon. Alex, stay safe. Deirdre McGrain, thanks indeed, and Cathy Bourne. I know it's very difficult, especially with your 3 children literally down the road and a birthday coming up, but they know their mammy will be home, hopefully within the next 7 days. So stay safe, Cathy, and we'll keep in touch. That's Cathy Bourne in quarantine at a hotel beside Dublin Airport. joe@rt.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Okay, Sarah, good afternoon. Sarah Nolan.
Hi, how are you?
And we pivot in a completely different direction now. Tell us about this incredible woman. She's your mother-in-law.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Her name is Kathleen Nolan.
What happened? Yeah. Well, it was her birthday yesterday. She was 70 yesterday and doesn't look a day over 21. I don't mind telling you, she's fantastic. And we had planned to go away on holiday, a surprise holiday for her. We decided to do that in October, and due to COVID, we said, right, we can't do that.
Okay.
So then we said we'd book a hotel for this Saturday.
Okay.
And then I ended up with COVID, so we had to cancel.
Well, you can't get a hotel anyway, yeah?
Yeah, no, of course, you can't get the hotel. So then we said we'd do a birthday picnic this Saturday, tomorrow.
Okay.
And now she herself is in isolation because she got COVID. So we wanted to try and do something really special for her. And unfortunately, because the whole family's kind of quarantined and isolating, nobody could go down and see her. And she's all about family. And it was quite emotional for her yesterday because we couldn't be there. And
how do you communicate with Kathleen?
We phone, everyone phones, and she phones us in every morning. We phone her then throughout the day. Like,
can we phone her?
Yeah, I do. I'm sure she's.
Can we dial up? I won't call out the number, but I see the number there on the docket. If we dial up the number, and let's see if she answers. What does she do at this time every afternoon?
Oh, she's probably sitting listening to you. And if she's not listening to you, she's probably cleaning out a wardrobe or something, because she's isolating in her bedroom.
And is she in her bedroom?
Yeah, she's like me. I got out of my bedroom yesterday for the first time in 2 weeks. So we've a lot in common at the minute.
Kathleen Nolan.
Yes.
Joe. This is Joe. You're on live. You're on national radio live,
okay,
Kathleen. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
And how are you?
Thank you so much.
How are you managing?
I'm actually very good. Yeah.
Tell us. Are you in the bedroom?
I'm in the bedroom. Yes.
And along
with
you,
the window.
How long have you been in the bedroom?
Last Sunday.
You're like Zaza Gabor. You never leave the bedroom. You're in there since last Sunday.
I'm in here since last Sunday. Just doing my, whatever I have to do, stay safe.
Yeah. How do you pass the time, Kathleen?
Well, I read, I write, and I watch television.
Yeah.
And I'm doing a lot of cleaning in my own little room here. Tidying.
Is it the cleanest bedroom in Ireland?
No.
And what are you writing, Kathleen?
Oh, I'm just writing bits of things. I have a little diary here of things.
Oh, wow.
And it says it's a feel good thing.
Great. Have you always kept a diary? Or always?
No, well, not in a while, but because I'm in here now, I'm writing again.
And
just little bits of information.
And who's bringing up your food?
Oh, my husband leaves outside the door.
And is he any good? Is he any use as a cook?
Oh, yeah, he's a very good cook.
Oh, you're so lucky, yeah. Catherine. You are blessed.
It's like he asks me what I like and he brings it up.
And so you order your food every day off him?
No, he just asks me what we have and he'll cook or... Sometimes I'm not in the mood for food, Joe.
Are you not? No. And how long are you married, Kathleen, can I ask?
Oh, I'll be 50 years married on the 31st of July.
Oh, excellent. And to the same man, like?
Oh, yeah.
what's his first name?
His name is Paul.
Paul.
Yeah.
But Paul isn't allowed into the bedroom.
No, he has his own room.
Okay.
He's not allowed in.
You heard that Prince Philip died, the Queen's husband.
I just heard, isn't that sad?
Yeah. They were married for 74 years, Kathleen.
Oh, my goodness. How long are you married for, Joe?
20 years. Anyway.
Go on, tell me.
No, if I give out the wrong number, 1989.
Oh, there you go.
There you are now. Now, Kathleen, tell us, what are you reading? I'm baffled as to how you pass the time.
I just had a few books. I've had them for a while and I'm just checking in on them. I put back down. I couldn't get into them.
Okay.
You know the way you just can't get into a book.
What type of book do you like?
Anything.
Okay.
Mostly, it doesn't really matter. As long as I like reading it, I'd stick with it.
Okay.
You know, I'm not...
Do you like novels or do you like history or do you like biography or...
I like all them, but mostly at the moment now I have novels. And
Yeah. Crime.
Nothing too bad at the moment.
Yeah. And Kathleen, what do you do for your Pilates, for your exercise?
Oh, for my exercises, my gym is closed.
Okay.
And I at the moment, I only get out to the garden.
Yeah.
And back up. But I do like to exercise. I like to walk. I've been walking with Sarah there just before all this.
Walking is incredibly beneficial.
Oh, we like it. We have great fun. I have to say.
And Kathleen, where are you from originally?
I'm from Crumlin originally.
Okay, and where did you meet Paul?
Oh, I met Paul in Terenure, in the CYM in Terenure.
Okay, where was he from?
He's from Columbanas in Milltown.
Oh, you're not too far.
Yeah, we're not too bad.
Not too far. And what do you miss most about being locked up in your bedroom for over a week? Or maybe you're enjoying it.
Well, I'm quite relaxed. And
yeah, you sound it.
I'm quite relaxed. I've no symptoms. I'm very good. I'm just doing what I have to do. I miss meeting my family, and I miss all that.
And how were you yesterday when you realised it was your 70th birthday?
Oh my God! It was very emotional to start.
Yeah.
And I got loads of cards, flowers, and presents.
All delivered up under the bedroom door.
No, they were left at the front door and they were delivered.
Okay,
Paul,
very good.
And my husband has them all over the house.
Oh, good lad, Paul.
Yeah. So,
And what was it? You're saying it was emotional yesterday.
It was emotional because, like, I'm getting the text and Sarah and Theodore had this song done for me with all my photographs coming up. It was very nice. It was absolutely fantastic. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed my day, actually.
Okay.
It was a very, very good day because we couldn't do what we're supposed to do, if you know what I mean, in normal circumstances.
And, like, have you become more reflective as you're locked in your room, so to speak?
Yes.
Have you? In writing in your diary, you know your feel-good diary there?
Yeah.
Like, what... I know we should never ask.
Just some things that come to my head or
if I like doing sometimes quotes, write them down so I can quote them to somebody else.
Okay. Have you got the book handy? Have you got your feet?
No, I don't actually.
Well, where is it? It can't be. Is it in the room?
Well, when I look, Joe, I leave that aside.
Okay. But you have you're more reflective. And by the way, you're still very young, and you sound very young.
Thank you.
Yeah, you sound well. 70 is young. 70 is young.
Yeah, I'm not too bad. I'm feeling very, very good at the moment. Even with this, I have to do it.
And I say Prince Philip, he died today, but he's 19. What do you? He's born in 19. He's born 100 years ago, but he's 19.
Yeah, I know. He's nearly 100.
102 months if he'd lived, and the Queen is not far behind.
No.
I know they live a different life to us, but. You sound, and you're very close to your daughter-in-law, Kathleen.
I'm very close to my daughter-in-law. I am very close to her. She's amazing.
Yeah, and how did you become so close?
Well, through the years, and we do a lot. We've been talking, and I give her some guidance. If she asks me anything, I'm able to tell her, and she can either take it or I feel we just gel.
And Sarah, will you can tell the nation why you think Kathleen Nolan is the best mother-in-law in Ireland, the best woman in Ireland?
She has three sons, three daughter-in-laws. She's six grandchildren, and each and every one of us can pick up the phone and just ring her about anything, and she, no matter what time, day or night. And as she says there, she advises us. None of us never take her advice because she's like a guru. She knows everything. Do you know what I mean? And she has, I remember years ago when the kids were small, even now, because we were only talking about her recently, you know, the kids would have a rash or something and she swears by Fusidine. Fusidine solves everything, you know, what? The kind of a... Fusidine.
What's Fusidine?
It's a cream.
Cream. Okay.
It's just an antiseptic cream.
Is it like pseudo? It's like pseudo cream.
No, this is better, apparently. This is the gods.
And can I get it? Can I buy it over the counter?
No.
I don't. No, it's gone now, is it, Kathleen?
I think it's gone, but I had a prescription.
What do you use Fusidine for?
Well, you know, if you had a rash or you had something to give the kids fell, you could put a bit on their knee. I told them it was magic.
Okay, and what is prescription only? And what else, Sarah, do you rely on Kathleen for?
Oh, just everything. She's just a wonderful, wonderful human being.
Thank you.
No, you know you are, and we love you. And yesterday was just so hard for all of us because normally, if without COVID or without, normally what would happen is everyone would arrive down in someone's house for their birthday, and you'd get a Chinese, and it'd be just a big family gathering.
She's
very much family orientated. Very much family orientated. Like, no matter what's happening in any one of our lives, she's there, you know, the kind of way. And it doesn't make any difference whether you're a stranger, a neighbour, she does everything to help you. And we're very, very blessed to have her. And I know I've been with my husband now over 30 years, and she's been there from day one with me, you know, the kind of way. And she's fabulous. And I myself have had to be in isolation because I got COVID, and she was on the phone every morning on the phone, and it broke our heart, the fact that she couldn't come up and do anything for us. And it breaks our heart that we can't go down and do anything for her now, you know, the kind of way. So we have planned to have a big, huge celebration for when all this is over and we can all be together safely, and we can all just get to the end of this now at this stage.
And Kathleen,
kind words, Sarah. Thank
lovely,
you so much. Word.
Kathleen, are you a crepuscular person? I tell you why I asked that question. That means are you more active at twilight rather than in the morning? What's your favourite part of the day?
No, morning time.
Morning time. You're a morning person.
You're
up early and...
I used to be up at 6 for my club.
What was your club?
For 7. Well, it's closed now. It was a gym.
You went to your gym at 6?
No, I was up at 6 and I'd get ready and I'd go and I'd have some classes or whatever be on.
Brilliant.
Just different times for different classes.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Yeah, and I love me walking.
Yeah, and you love your family.
Oh, absolutely. I love everyone.
But if Sarah and what's your chap's
Fedor.
Name? What's his first name?
Fedor, my son.
Fedor?
Yeah.
Spell that for me.
Feidor.
Okay, where did you get that from?
Oh, that's a Greek name. I didn't pick that now, Joe. My husband did.
And why did Paul pick it?
Because we had a few names done, and we just decided on that.
And then, where did he pick it up?
Oh, now it's someone he liked, some sort of a wrestler years ago.
Theodore.
Yeah, he was a wrestler that my husband in his day really, really liked.
And was your husband a wrestler? Speak freely, Kathleen.
No, he wasn't a wrestler.
Is that why you've locked the bedroom door? I'm married a wrestler. And so what do you call your husband?
Theodore.
Is there a short? Is there a... Anyway, it doesn't
there is
matter.
A short.
A lot of people, like if he was introducing himself now, he'd say V. Because a lot of people would say, like, you know, they'd say Theodore or something. So when the other grandchildren came along, like the younger ones, Keane and Ronan and stuff, they wouldn't be able to say his name. So we used to go front door, back door, door, and that's how they got his name.
Theodore.
Yeah.
He was a British wrestler.
Yeah, Liverpool, Steve. I think he was from,
And he was known... Kathleen, wait for this. He was known as the handsome heartthrob.
Oh, was he? Yeah. Lovely.
Sarah,
well, there you go. Oh, I married him.
Brilliant. And what? Okay. Any other strange? So his Christian name is the surname of a wrestler, and it's a Greek name, and it's Veidor, Veidor. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Any other unusual names? And God.
No, we stopped at that.
Yeah,
and Kathleen, how did you get on in school with that name? Like, did what's the Irish for Veidor?
I don't think there's an Irish for Veidor. I don't know. Yeah. Like, I say Veidor left it to whatever. If he wants to call him Veo, that's what they done.
Ah, okay.
He wouldn't. Yeah.
Okay.
He grew up with it, and he still has it.
Okay. Well, it's not Steve Veidor we have on the turntable. It's Stevie Wonder we have singing singing Happy Birthday to you, Kathleen.
Oh.
It's a day late, unfortunately.
No, day two.
You can do your Pilates for that now, Kathleen.
I will.
So, Kathleen, happy birthday. And here's to many more of them and in their own different ways.
And thanks, Joe.
And
thank you very much. Thanks to... Go on.
No, you go ahead.
Thanks to them all. I love them all.
We love you.
And I think, Kathleen, I hope that family gatherings that you organise over the years and Christmas and sometimes people are saying, I'm not doing it anymore, I'm tired, I'm not doing it this Christmas or for the birthday or whatever. Yeah. They've become all, the memories of them have become all the more important, haven't they, as we've lived through this lockdown. And we're all so glad.
Absolutely.
We're all so glad we did them, even though the washing up afterwards was a pain and was a pain. So, Kathleen, happy birthday, darling.
And thank you, Joe. And thank you
many
so much, Sarah.
Yeah.
No
Thank
problem,
you.
Kathleen. Love you.
Love you. Bye.
I love you too, Kathleen. See you later. Bye. Bye. I feel like I know that woman.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
From Veidor to Newbur, Alex Newbur. Am I correct in pronouncing your name correctly, Alex?
It's Alex Neubauer, but it's okay. Don't worry about it, Joe.
Okay. You are in an organisation called Sea Shepherd Ireland.
That's right,
okay. Yes. And we mentioned this new Netflix documentary, Seaspiracy, which is trending all for the last 2 weeks in Ireland. Basically, what is, in 12 words or less, Alex, what is the thesis of this documentary, do you think?
Well, the documentary actually shows what's wrong and what we are doing to our ocean, you know. And it's when you stand on the beach and you look over the ocean, what do you see? A flat piece of water, and that's it. But you can't see what's underneath.
Okay.
What is going on? And I think,
but to come back to my, what is Seaspiracy saying to us? My, I haven't been able to watch it all, but my tuppence word was that we should put nothing into the sea and take nothing out of the sea. Is that correct?
Well, let me put it that way. Yeah, we don't. We shouldn't put anything into the sea. If you see that we nearly put 400,000 truckloads of plastic every year into it,
mm-hmm.
what makes absolutely it's ridiculous. And the other hand is, if you take it out of the sea, I would talk about the industrial fishing. When a fishing boat goes out, one of these big, huge fishing trawlers, who actually catches 400 tons a day. Mm. I'm not talking about the little fishermen on the coast of Ireland, you know. So that has to be somewhere, somehow regulated.
And do you, Alex, sorry for this cheap question, but do you eat fish?
No.
At all?
No.
Why not?
Well, I stopped around a year ago and went vegetarian. But I'm not one of the vegetarians who says everyone needs to eat no meat and don't eat fish. You know, we are all grown-ups. So it's my decision, my personal decision, that I changed from a meat and fish diet to a plant-based diet.
Okay, so even though we're told there's great benefits in eating fish.
Well, there's
omega and...
Yes, there are some other things out there where they say, oh yeah, you need the omega-3 and stuff. But I'm not a biologist. I don't know what to tell you about it, you know.
Okay, you've given up fish as well. Okay, Jerry, yeah. Jerry Early. Jerry, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You're a fisherman in Donegal, Aaron Moore.
Yes.
Have you watched Seaspiracy?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
What do you think?
There's parts of it, Joe, that I absolutely agree with, you know, for pollution and plastic, et cetera, and some of the barbaric stuff that's going on regarding to dolphins and whales.
One of the things that jumped out at me was I did not know, and Alex has said 100,000 tons of plastic dumped into the sea every year. But
truckloads.
So worse. Truckloads. Okay, but maybe not weight wise. But that big garbage patch, it's the size of an ocean at this stage in the Pacific, which is made up of plastic. 48% of it, nearly half of it, is made up from ropes and buoys and baskets and bits and pieces thrown off trawlers. Did you know that, Jerry?
Yeah.
So what happens when you're at sea? Do you throw stuff into the sea?
So from our angle, right, I've been regarded as an inshore fisherman and I represent inshore fishermen. So I'm talking about from the islands in particular.
Yeah.
So our method of fishing and this is what probably disappointed me about the documentary, is that it doesn't give a right balance, Joe, in my opinion, because, I mean, we would be very sustainable, very... traditional ways of fishing. So we're talking about, you know, from sustainable and traditional that you would see, you know, with lobster pots, hand lines, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, yes, I do see the point. But this argument of stop eating fish, to me, is a ridiculous argument.
The message you get from the documentary? It's the message I got.
Absolutely, yeah. And it was said more than once. And, I mean, that's where I feel that it's, you know, if for your listeners out there, or even anybody that watched the documentary, if that's not refuted, Joe, it becomes, well, almost like, you know, I thought it was very, you know, it was very environmentally and the carbon footprint, et cetera, et cetera. And I agree with that, but not at the cost of, in our instance, small inshore fishermen who are obeying the carbon footprint.
I know you're inshore, but do trawlers throw broken nets and ropes and buckets and buoys and baskets overboard when they're at sea? I'm not saying
I have to feel that maybe in the past, Joe, there's been an education about that in the past, you know, 10, 15 years. You know, I think maybe in the past you could be accused of doing that. But I, you know, and I can't speak for the bigger boats, but I think there's a moral issue here. And I think that in general, I don't think it's a massive issue as far as boats are concerned. Now, you know, obviously, things will happen.
But 48% of 48%. I don't know. Isn't there a name on that garbage ocean, Alex? 48% of it is made up of abandoned nets and ropes and detritus from from fishing boats, which nets obviously gather together, and nets are much more dangerous, obviously, to fish than an awful plastic bottle in the sea. Niall Duffy is in down the other end of the country, but again, great fishing country down in Castletown Bear, Niall, near Eyries and near Beara Peninsula. Niall, did you watch the documentary?
I did, Joe, I did. I was... tried to stop myself putting my foot through the screen at one stage, but
why? Tell us why.
It was riddled with inaccuracies, a lot of general sweeping statements, a sort of a one size fits all greenwash, you know, on the fishing industry.
And what come at it, you know, for a start, what message did you get from it?
Well, they tried to say stop eating fish is going to save the oceans.
Yeah,
you know,
and it's going to save us.
Well,
if we save the oceans, we save us.
But it's, they were trying to apply, they were cherry picking parts of the fishing industry around the world, trying to apply that to that it was a global problem. I was involved with the Fishing for Litter program here, where Irish boats on a voluntary basis agreed to bring ashore any litter they find at sea. And the last couple of years, they brought in over 500 tonnes, like that's half a million kilos of litter, which is not their own litter, or the majority is not their own litter. So Irish fishermen are actually bringing more litter ashore than they're bringing out. They have a policy of leave no trace. And okay. A lot of the litter that does wash up on our coasts would come from foreign fleets. Unfortunately, we don't have control over them in our waters.
They said in the Seaspiracy documentary, it says no fish, the way we're carrying on, no fish by 2048.
Well, that's untrue as well. That report came out a good few years ago, and when the report was examined by marine biologists and scientists, the actual authors of that report actually retracted it.
Okay, no such thing as a sustainable fisheries, despite what it says on the back.
Well, the UN have published figures that say that 46% of world fisheries are now fished at a sustainable level. I mean, I know Jerry up there in Donegal and myself down here, we've got small inshore boats. We go out, we target maybe one, two species. There's no bycatch. It's very low impact. That's happening all around our coasts. So you can't take problems. There is problems on the industrial fishing side. Of large-scale fisheries, especially with the Chinese fleet, who just flood an area and completely overfish it without any regulation. Irish fishermen are probably the most heavily regulated in Europe.
Yeah, I understand that. I know that.
And the government themselves, the government figures show that Irish fishermen have an over 95% compliance rate.
Okay. Did the Seaspiracy documentary, did it change your eating habits at all?
Not at all. I eat fish 3 or 4 times a week.
Okay.
It's healthy. It's wild. It's as organic a food as you can get on your doorstep. So I think, I mean, like we've had a couple of years of these, stories and scare stories, which have been just anti-fishing without actually examining the problem, and they tend to just end up parroting what's been said before.
But there was a lot of allegations that they compared some of the fish industry tuna, shark fin for shark fin, tasteless and nutritionless shark fin soup, which sells inordinately expensive. But they kept using the phrase, this is like drugs barons and the mafia are involved. And
But they're taking a case of what happens on one side of the world and trying to convince the public that it happens
here. Okay, Catherine Green, 51551, wash your hands. Catherine,
you
watched the documentary. What did you do?
I threw out my fish fingers out of my freezer.
Gone.
Thank you.
Gone, absolutely gone.
Why?
Now, the programme upset me. I can't give you statistics. I don't know statistics.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
And I don't think that they were very much on the regular small fishing boats that I can see out my window as I'm talking to you now.
Okay.
They were talking more about the commercial fishing. And it was just the cruelty that was going on was absolutely... I cried, I have to be honest with you.
Okay.
Now, maybe I cried because I'm on my own and I've been on my own for a year. But I did cry. I just thought it was horrendous.
And what was the message of it for you, Catherine?
Well, the message of it for me was the fact that the people who are fishing are actually not caring at all about the damage that they're doing to the fish that they don't want.
And have you now given up fish?
Well, I wouldn't be a huge fish eater for the simple reason.
But you've given the two fingers to the fish fingers.
I've given me two fingers to the fish fingers. They went out into the bin.
And what about some fresh cod or?
No, no. You see, the reason why I don't cook fish is because I can't cook it properly. I'm actually a very bad fish cooker. Yeah. So I would have fish if I were in my friend's house because she would cook fish. But no. And I actually phoned her after I had watched it and said to her, you need to throw the fish out of your freezer. And then I phoned, well, I spoke to somebody else whose husband is a maritime archaeologist, maybe.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant, yeah.
And he hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
So I asked her if she would ask him to watch it and then call me because I had lots of questions. And she said that she would. Now, he hasn't called me back yet.
I know.
But they just have a new baby, so.
Well, a maritime archaeologist is somebody who would date if they find the hull of a ship or the hull of a boat for 5,000 years ago.
Yeah.
You might not necessarily know about fish.
Well, I think he'd know about the ocean.
Well, that's true.
Well, I'm hoping he'll know something. Well, he's the only one that I knew that I could call because
But I'm even thinking, Catherine, even if we did get someone to show you how to cook fish properly, you still wouldn't do it, yeah?
No, I absolutely won't, no.
And did you like fish before this
program? Yes, I do like fish.
And what's your favourite fish?
Cod.
And that's gone. Cod. That's gone now?
It's gone, yeah. No, I wouldn't. As I said, I'll be honest, I don't...
Okay, do you eat meat?
I do eat meat, but I don't eat a whole lot of meat.
Well, then there's another documentary on Netflix. I think it's called Cowspiracy. Not Seaspiracy, Cow. And you won't look...
Well, maybe I won't watch that one.
Rib steak in the eye again.
Well, the only thing about it is, and I'm not going to go into the cruelty to animals thing, but like a cow is killed and a cow is killed. It doesn't kill the sheep and the chickens and the pigs and everything else that's around.
Yeah, but the cow is belching
meat.
The cow is not happy. Well, some cows are. But the cow is belching methane into the ozone layer and destroying...
Yeah, but you know, the cows have been belching methane into the ozone layer since the year of that. They should look at things that
so
are...
So, Catherine, not only has watching the documentary made you cry, not only has it made you throw your fish fingers out of the freezer, not only has it made you give up your fish, including your favourite cod, but it's turned you into a Greta Thunberg because you're ringing your friends saying, get rid of fish.
Yeah, it upset me that much.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Okay, stay with us after this break.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the new Kia Ceed SW plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And remember, you can direct message or DM a Liveline on Twitter at RTE Liveline. Simplest in the world, at RTE Liveline if you want to message us. We're talking about Seaspiracy, which is a documentary on Netflix at the minute. It's trending in Ireland for the last 2 weeks. Its basic thesis is don't take anything out of the ocean and don't put anything into the ocean if we want to survive. Not just fish species, but us humans. Deirdre, good afternoon.
Hiya, Joe. How are you doing?
Good. Now, who threw the fish fingers out of the freezer? Deirdre, what did it mean to you, this programme?
Well, I haven't had fish fingers or anything like that in my freezer for many years, but
It was Catherine,
I had been aware that the oceans were in, you know, in trouble for a long time, just watching, you know, reading science stuff and just making myself aware of what's going on. And then I had seen Cowspiracy, which, you know, was quite worrying from a climate catastrophe point of view and all that. And then Seaspiracy, I found it, like that, your last caller there, very upsetting. But it's what's happening, and I suppose we need to deal with this, and we need to One of the things we can do is eat less or no fish, which is obvious because the bycatch is just horrendous, you know, horrendous.
So we eat less or no fish?
Well, what would you think, you know, I mean...
No, I'm asking you, it's your program,
it's not
mine. I know you are,
yeah, but I just think it's kind of, it's, you know, it's a no-brainer, isn't it, really? You know, the bycatch, if you... Have you watched it, have you?
Well, what is the bycatch?
The bycatch is what they take to get certain species. So they take everything, they drag net across the ocean floor.
Well, Niall Duffy, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, if you are going to be conscientious about buying fish, I think the important thing is to find out where your fish comes from. To ask a fishmonger, like a bit of traceability, there's a lot of difference between...
Yeah, but I think, Deirdre, am I right in saying, you say once the fish comes from the sea, end of, don't be eating it.
Well, I think that's, you know, that's making it a bit simplistic. I think, you know, I suppose, like, around the coast, if it was always done, there's a small amount of fishing done by small trawlers. You were talking about super trawlers, stopped me there when I was trying to.
Okay.
But you talked about these nets, you know.
I'll let Deirdre continue because she's. Go ahead, Deirdre.
So yeah, you have huge super trawlers, like absolutely, you know, tracing catching fish using satellite, then drag netting nets the size of cathedrals. So there's nothing left for local fishermen. I mean, one part of it shows local fishermen in an African country asking for them.
But in your view, Deirdre, is there anything we as consumers can trust that's sustainably caught and isn't damaging the ocean?
Well, if you watched it, did you see the dolphin-friendly sustainable?
I know, there was parts of it that were horrific. I know that.
No, but the actual, on the tins of tuna, you know, you have dolphin-friendly tuna.
They said that's not true.
Which is a complete myth, you know. And in fairness to Ali Tabrizi, the guy who did it, really researched it well, and it's really, really well done.
And Deirdre, are you annoyed that people aren't more aware, including myself, I suppose?
Well, I'm not annoyed, but I'm glad you're doing it. It's wonderful that you're talking about it. Super, because you don't hear too much about it, you know. It's these things are kind
so
of
so you don't eat meat and you don't eat fish.
No. Okay. Not for many years, okay. No. Okay. And to use an unfortunate euphemism, I'm as healthy as a trout.
Okay. Claire O'Dwyer, you're the salmon of knowledge anyway. Claire O'Dwyer, Claire.
Yeah, hiya.
Seaspiracy, did you throw your toys out of the pram or throw your fish fingers out of the freezer?
Well, I didn't have any fish fingers because the kids have grown up and moved out. But my 25-year-old pointed it out to me and I watched it. He was horrified and I was equally shocked and horrified at what's going on. And recently, David Attenborough has also done a documentary that shows us very clearly we are literally scavenging the sea beyond, right. It's out of control, and that's what really scared me, and I feel pretty helpless most of the time. I mean, what can we do? I wouldn't come on to radio at all normally, but after seeing that, I've told my own family here I'm not eating fish until the sea is rectified, and I love my fish.
And do you think one will make a difference?
Well, I'm hoping that maybe through speaking about it, people will become aware and maybe see what's going on. I mean, I hadn't heard of that term before about extra. I forget now what it's called again.
The bycatch.
Yes, I'm horrified to see that and the total disregard for the fact that they were.
But it's interesting. It's interesting, Claire, the effect it's having on people, and because Catherine was the same. Catherine said, not only will I draw my fish fingers out of the freezer, I'm ringing my friends, being even. Angelica, yes. And you're the same. Niall Duffy, you wanted to come in there quickly before the break.
Yeah, Joe. This is the whole shame about it is that it's turning people against eating fish or even getting involved in finding out.
But
Deirdre
would say that's
from
the benefit of it.
But unless the debate is balanced and they ask, I mean, Irish fishermen have been using bycatch avoidance measures for years now. You know, in the nets, using bigger mesh to stop catching smaller fish, to stop catching fish that they can't land. You know, so yeah, I mean, like they're tarring the whole industry with a brush. You know, and I don't think it's fair on the Irish fishing industry who've made great strides in getting sustainability and certified, you know, fisheries. As I say, if you know where your fish has come comes from, you can make a conscientious decision whether to purchase it or not.
Okay, and I don't know if Claire's still there. Claire,
See, I go down to my local supermarket, and it's not wild salmon I'm able to buy. It's farmed salmon.
Farmed salmon, okay.
And after seeing what they showed on the video or on the thingy, what they do and how they rear the
Claire,
and all the amount of plastic they throw in. I mean, 50%.
And 50% of it is from fishing trawlers, nets and...
No, it's not. That's a false...
Okay, well, tell us, Niall, absolutely. Go on, what's your take on that?
The official UN figures are just under 20% of marine plastic is generated from fishing activity.
Yeah, well, that would surprise
me.
It shouldn't be any, yeah. Okay, 51551, wash hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Okay, Deirdre, quick question. We're talking about sea spiracy. If this campaign works and the oceans are saved, will you go back to eating fish?
No, I haven't eaten anything live. Anything that has a face, I haven't eaten for many, many years.
Okay, Alex Newbauer, if the oceans are saved, you're Sea Shepherd Ireland, would you go back to eating fish?
No, absolutely not.
Why not?
No, it doesn't. Said I don't want to kill any animals any longer for me to eat them. You know what I mean? So my personal opinion is no, I'm not doing it. You know, and if I'm alone in the world who is still vegetarian, I'm alone in the world. It's my decision.
Okay.
We are old enough.
And the last word then in terms of balance to Niall Duffy in Castletown Bear. Niall, what do you recommend people watch to counter some of the arguments in Seaspiracy, which says take nothing out of the ocean, put nothing into the ocean, or we're all going to die?
Well, unfortunately, Joe, the problem that our industry has is we don't get the funding to make documentaries about our side of the story, you know. I mean, like, there needs to be balance and everything, and as I said, there is issues that were raised by Seaspiracy that are worrying to Irish fishermen as well. But on the whole, I think it was it just painted a very bad picture. And I think if people did a bit of research and educated themselves to BIM or whatever, they'd find out more.
Okay, and I'm also, I see a lot of calls coming in now again on asbestos and what we were talking about yesterday. I'm sure we'll deal with that on Monday. Today's producer was Shanna Gormer. Rebecca Meehan is the series producer. Maeve Mooney is the BCO. And Dave Gibson was on sound. And Catherine Thomas is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Soul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Soul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
1850 715 815. Stays open until 3:15 p.m. Or email joe@rte.ie.